You know, Joseph Bannister just said he doesn't know if we'll be able to get in front of this thing. He doesn't know if we'll be in time to get it fixed before it melts down. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, my friend, if you're sitting there by yourself, it's not hard to get involved. You just have to do it. Look, even a rat drowning in a toilet struggles to escape, to survive, and we're not rats. This IRS scandal, we should not let it go. Targeting conservative groups, delaying their applications while approving others is wrong. And there are many of us that, while we may not embrace liberal doctrine in any way, would be just as outraged if it were happening to you, because it's wrong. This is our country, and it's our fight. We have to do it. People like me, people like Jones, people like, well, Mr. Bannister. We can give you some information, some actual intel. We can give you some strategy. We can even give you some tactics. But it's your fight. You have to do it. We'll be right back with Joe Bannister in the final hour of tonight's program and some of your calls as well. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Joseph R. Bannister, tell us about the movie America, Freedom to Fascism, that you were featured in.
Really a phenomenal movie. Basically, Aaron Russo has passed away, but he produced the movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. For people a little older might remember that funny movie. And
oh, yeah.
Bette Midler, he was her producer and produced The Rose. And so, you know, he definitely had his credentials in Hollywood, but he was also a constitutionally minded person. And he decided to do a documentary film on the federal income tax, the monetary system, and basically where this will all lead in terms of ultimately tyranny in a 1984-type environment. And so at the time, none of us really realized, you know, what this movie would become, but I mean, it has just been seen by tens of millions of people. It came out in theaters really briefly, and then went to DVD, and of course on the internet, there's certain versions of it that are shown for free. But I would highly encourage people to go see, or on the internet, just go type in America, Freedom to Fascism. The actual website is freedomtofascism.com if you want to get a really cool DVD, like for a gift, Christmas gift or something. But you can watch it online for free. And I mean, I've spoken to groups of, you know, 300, 400, 500 people, and they've watched the film before I spoke. And it's just an amazing tool to wake people up. So I can't recommend it enough. And it was really an interesting phenomenon, or, you know, to be involved with. At the time, we just kind of were interviewed and told our stories, but Aaron had just an incredible talent to weave it all together. And the interview with the former IRS commissioner is the crescendo of the movie, so make sure you pay attention to that part.
Okay, all right. You know, I'm going to went into a little diatribe there, maybe even a little speech about people becoming involved. You're right. They are waking up. Everybody's waking up. And it's, you know, isn't it amazing how when something happens, you go, off, I should have bought that stock. I should have seen that coming. Or, you know, I saw this coming, but I just didn't really pay any attention to it. Hence the expression, hindsight is always 20/20. But from a financially, you know, it's one trauma after another. It's either world war or, you know, some SARS-like disease or something. But where this financial crisis, and I know you're not an economist, but you're a thinking man, obviously, and you're involved in the money field. So I'm just curious. Do you have any ideas? Just, I mean, nobody likes to be wrong either. But you have any idea how far off we might be from something that you can never, trouble usually comes from where you least expect it. And any kind of financial meltdown is not likely to take the exact form that we have in our minds. Do you see a financial collapse coming. I understand the Grace Commission, for example, back in the 80s, actually concluded that income tax goes really strictly to pay the debt, the interest on the debt, and that's pretty much it. Is that correct? And if so, if the debt is outrunning us, how far off do you think we might be from an actual collapse, and what form do you think it might take? Just a couple of guys talking with a few million of our closest friends, you know.
Well, I mean, I prepare like it's happening tomorrow. That way I don't get caught in, I prepared for it to be a year from now, and then I overprepared. But I do prepare like it could come any time. And, of course, if it never does, great. But, you know, we've seen what's happened in Greece. We saw what happened in Iceland. And thankfully, I'm sure we don't live there, so I'm sure they're still struggling. But thankfully, the Icelanders, decided to take their country back. At least that's the way it appears from the outside. I really prepare like it's going to happen tomorrow. I've done my best to get out of debt. Make sure that my family is investing in gold and silver. And if they have any kind of paper investments, they're very conservative. And just kind of battening down the hatches and getting ready. Of course, you know, it's going to be hard to get as much ammo as DHS has. And we hope that we never have to go to that. But I think I even like the deterrent value of Americans doing the right thing in large groups. And, you know, you mentioned before the break about tactics. And I think that, you know, we could at least use this police state and monitoring to our benefit, in the sense that if they're going to monitor us until we can stop them from doing that, let them monitor people waking up by the millions, by the tens of millions. And I think that that will forestall or at least postpone nastiness longer, because it's only when the powers that be can just collapse everything and have everyone be without any hope, without any tools, that they'll be successful. And so the NSA monitors us and monitors people waking up and preparing and being more self-sufficient, like you said about the doctors, just saying, you know what, I'm not taking insurance. I'm going to take cash on the barrelhead. Those statistics get noticed, especially the more that do it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm preparing like it could happen tomorrow. And every day that comes that it doesn't happen, I give thanks to God that it's another day in paradise. Because we do have some great things still left, some remnant of freedom here, and we need to take advantage of the freedoms we have to gain back the freedoms we lost.
I'll tell you what, Joseph. Why don't you? You got a lot of people's attention here. The emails are coming in, by the way. Anybody that doesn't have the email address, here it is. It's John B, J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com. And I read them as fast as I can, but they're coming in, a lot of them. Would you mind just running down the websites that you had mentioned earlier where people can get some information? It's not that hard to get involved, but the first thing you need to do is start clicking the mouse and tapping the appropriate keys to get to the sites.
Yeah.
And you can move forward from there.
Yes, sure. And again, to emphasize or restate what you were talking about as far as tactics, I've never been the kind of person that's here to egg people on to stop filing and paying, okay? I'd like to get to a point where the IRS doesn't make your life miserable when you assert your rights. Right now, in this climate, they still have an 800-pound gorilla that'll come out and sit on you if you just decide to, assert your rights.
Just quit paying them, right?
Right. So I'm not that kind of a cheerleader, but the cheerleader that I am is that there are tens of thousands of people every day in this country that go and sit on juries, okay? And the more informed they are and the more that they realize that there are good, sincere, honorable, law-abiding people that have recognized that they don't owe the income tax and they stopped to pay it because they could, and they're innocent. but they're being convicted because people still believe that the government has, you know, the government's doing the right thing. They think that the government is out there just doing justice, and that's unfortunately not the case. So anyway, I would invite people to go to agentfortruth.com. That's my primary website, agentfortruth.com. And I've got a section on there called Become an Agent for Truth. And it doesn't cost any money to do it. It's basically just a little roadmap on how people can become a more informed potential juror. They can become more informed about how people are being railroaded by the IRS and the Department of Justice in these tax prosecutions. And they can also find out some of the pitfalls that people have experienced when they've come up against the IRS, whether it's by themselves or in a group. I'm also going to be actually speaking June 29th in Dallas, and that'll be there on the website, agentfortruth.com. Freedomabovefortune.com is the website I've had ever since 1999. And those two websites and that truth-attack.com, which is linked to my own website, I really think people can get a lot of free information, whether you're into videos or audio or the written word or links to actual law, to court cases. I think you'll find the virtual cornucopia, and it won't cost you a dime. You can just take the time and look. But I think that would help give some people some tactics and maybe, you know, take a breath. Just learn, you know, like I say, the only people that are watching us, as you know, is the NSA, and let them watch you. But they're just keeping track of that. They're not sharing the fact that you're educating yourself with the rank and file IRS agents. So I don't think you're going to experience any additional harassment just because you spend some time educating yourself on the internet. So take advantage of that privacy that you still have. But yet, you know, help to wake up other Americans, and we really need greater numbers if we're going to put the government back where it belongs, which is within the confines of the Constitution and the law. And, you know, agentfortruth.com would probably, hopefully, be a good place to start.
Very good. You know, this will seem like it's coming out of left field. Come without a warning like a UFO, here comes. In Istanbul, after 18 days of anti-government demonstrations that presented a broad rebuke to the country's leadership, Prime Minister Erdogan, ordered the riot police to storm the center of the protest movement in Gezi Park on Saturday evening, setting off a night of chaos in downtown Istanbul. Protesters fleeing the tear gas and water cannons. Police pursue them, in one case, into a luxury hotel near the park, where medics tended to people injured in the raid. You better get ahead of this, people. Seriously, there's no cause for alarm yet, but that day may come. It's better to get in front of this thing. That's one thing that I learned in pilot training, was don't get behind the airplane, meaning don't react, act. Think in terms of what are the next two things that I need to do. Pay off your debts as soon as you can. Keep a little cash handy. You heard the man, you heard Joe Bannister just say, gold and silver is probably not a bad idea. Do what you can. It doesn't matter if it's two little coins. Just some security for yourself. Tend to your fence mending. Talk to your friends and your neighbors. The more information you expose them to, the more they'll say, you know, when you were talking all that stuff, I thought you were way out there. But you know what? The more I look at this, I think you're absolutely right. And so I came in contact with this group, and we're doing some things. You got to get rid of some of these politicians. I'm talking about you, Rubio. For example, Marco Rubio just said, oh, we need to get these illegal aliens all legalized because, see, when we do that, because of the fines and everything, slurp of water from the bottle. they'll fund our border fence. I get a better idea. Go back to your country of origin, and let's take these people who are on welfare and say, unless you can show that you're unable to work, you're going to go to a training program. And the iPhone 9 is not going to be made in China. It's going to be made by highly qualified American technicians. What would be the matter with that? You feel like taking a call, Joe?
Oh, sure. Thank you, John.
Let's take one. From Alexandria, Louisiana, on wild card line number 2, Cornelius, please come most presently upon your hour.
Yeah, John B. Wells, I want to thank Gina for letting me through. And Mr. Joe, God bless you, son. I used to be with the federal government also, but they got rid of me, and you were right to leave, but I fought them, and they just set me up in something, so I understand your position. What I wanted to ask you about, since you said maybe you think it could come right now or a year from now, and you're a Christian, I can tell that also. There's a guy named Paul McGuire and John Hagee. I think you know John Hagee, John B. Wells. He's in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, I know who he is.
They're talking about the four blood moons, and that's a thing where if Israel is not helped by us or somebody else, you know, God's going to take retribution on us. So what I wanted to ask him, I don't know if he's heard of that or if y'all can get Paul McGuire and John Hagee on, but I know you're saying buy gold and silver, but suppose you can't afford none of that stuff and you're in debt. I mean, are we just lost as far as that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
That's a good question. Thanks for calling, Cornelius.
Yeah, thank you, Cornelius. I know it's easier said than done. I just know that I've spoken to many people and, of course, experienced it myself where you think that you're kind of in this straitjacket, you know, of debt, and you think, well, there's no way out. But you may find that, well, that car that you have, you know, you could trade it in or sell it and get rid of the debt and then buy a car that, you know, heaven forbid, doesn't have air conditioning or it's smaller or, you know, I mean, you're going to have to sacrifice for sure. But I think you'll find that, you know, whenever if you're in car debt or credit card debt, the interest payments are so huge. And I think, John, you even mentioned it earlier in the show that, you know, these credit card companies, you can pay less than the balance and get out from under it by just saying, look, I can't pay you anymore, but I'd be happy to pay something to just erase this. There are ways, but I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, and I've met some people that are just in so much debt, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
But it can be done. It really can. You just have to face it. You know, it's the same principle that when you really feel like talking, like, you know, you just really want to open up, that's probably the time to keep your mouth shut. And other times, when you really don't want to make that phone call, you really don't want to face this problem, that's the time when you got a cowboy or cowgirl up and face the problem. And you'll find out that statistically, 85% of every problem that we perceive actually has a positive outcome. But you'll never know unless you take it on.
Exactly. And I mean, just little things. Like, I used to go out for coffee a lot. And, you know, over the last 6 months or so, I've just policed myself to buy my own coffee, and make my own coffee. And, you know, I probably, 20% of what I was spending before, and yet I can still have coffee, you know. And I'm not that I'm hooked on it, but I enjoy it. But, you know, I carved out 80% of the that was going in someone else's pocket. So I think, you know, people can look at their lives and their day, and if they go out to eat a lot, and, well, hey, if you went to the grocery store and bought your own healthier food anyway and not eat out so much, you know, every little bit can help.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take another break. Joe, I'm sorry, but we just have to do it or the computer will chop us off like Beatrix Kiddo with her samurai sword. All right. You know, the thing is, folks, it's been a great party, but it's about time for the work lights to come on, and we're going to have to clean up. We'll be right back with our final segment with Joseph R. Bannister, our guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Look what's happened. Look at all of the shrouds. Look at all of the screens just come down, and there they stand. Guilty as can be. Well, I mentioned V for Vendetta earlier in the program. I recommend that you see that picture. It is so prophetic and potentially prophetic. The two cops are driving together on their way to a big gathering for the 5th of November. And one turns to the other and says, "What do you think is going to happen?" And he says, "The thing that usually happens when people without guns stand up to people with guns. It is possible to have leaders who are incompetent. It is possible to have leaders who do not have the interests of the people in mind at all. They have their own interests in mind. It's a little club, and they like it quite a lot. So I'm telling you, in the same way that Joseph Bannister just said, he's not advocating that you just stop paying your taxes, and neither am I. But what I am saying is, we'd better get ahead of this thing, because if you ask me what I think is going to happen, well, the same thing that happens with when people without truncheons and water cannons stand up to people who do. The Icelanders, aren't they Vikings? I think a case could be made for it. Maybe it's time to get Viking-like and just make the announcement, this country is a country and a nation of laws. And every one of you in government is just as subject to the constraints of those laws as any other citizen. So tell your friends, and tell your friends about Coast to Coast AM. A couple more of your calls. Everybody hold your position. We'll be back with our final segments with Joseph R. Bannister. Thanks for being with us tonight. We shall be right back. Joe Bannister, one of the things that I really enjoy about having a guest like you on the program is that you make it abundantly clear this is not a left-right issue. You know, I have committed myself to destroying the left-right paradigm completely, because that is how the powers that be keep us divided. This is an American problem. This is not a Republican or a Democrat problem. This is an American problem. And
I couldn't agree more, and I think you're pointing out that, remember how we were talking about the diversionary tactics, where they'll put a scandal that we'd think they'd hate to deal with in front of us, because they actually would rather deal with that than what they really got going on behind the curtain. And I think that left-right paradigm is their cover. I'm sure you'd agree. It's their cover. And so if we as a people get out of that, and don't get fooled by it, as the WHO says, don't get fooled again, it's game over for the nasty people in government, because that's what they're using. It's like, you know, Obama or Bush, but it's so much bigger than that. It's so much deeper than that. And, I think you do a great job of waking people up to escape from the two-party paradigm.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. I'm sure some would agree and some would disagree. A lot of people think that I'm just decidedly right wing. It's like, no, what does that mean anyway? I believe in the Constitution. I believe in being patriotic to your country. I believe that there should be transparency in government. And I don't like liars. And I can't believe anybody would even, number one, you have no business involving yourself in politics. You know nothing of our world. It's like, you work for us. That's the answer to that question. And the other one is, how could you even consider allowing someone to run for president who says, what difference does it make? We've just got to make sure that this doesn't happen again, like what happened in Benghazi. I personally think that whole deal was something having to do with the arms trade. And here we go. We're about to go into Syria. Yep. I don't understand how people can just be okay with that.
Well, it's, again, the only people that are going to police what they're doing is the people, is us, and we need a whole lot more than we have now. So I hope everybody's ready to get on board and start rowing.
And don't get tired. This is not the time to get tired. Go to agentfortruth.com. And that's truth-attack.com?
Correct.
Okay, great. Let's talk to Barbara in Palm Beach, Florida on Wild Card Line number 4. Hello, Barbara. How are you? Barbara. Where's Barbara? There she is. Good evening. Good morning. Barbara. Barbara's gone. Oh, poor Barbara. All right, Jake in Kansas City then, wild card line number 5.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, Jake. What's going on?
Okay, I have a question for both of you. With this economical crisis we're going through and how our government officials are all lying to us and everything, do you think the people, would actually stand up and spark a new civil war?
I think we're in a cold civil war right now, and it's our duty as Americans to keep it cold and not let it get hot by taking all appropriate actions under the law and not allow it to descend into that, because I suspect there are several elements of the government and also of the populace that would like nothing better than to, you know, get into it on a violent level, and we must not do this. That's my answer. What's your show?
Mine would be that we have all kinds of weapons, non-lethal and non-violent weapons in our quiver, and we need to use those. And that means interacting with your friends and neighbors, your communities at the local level. John mentioned Agenda 21 before. There is just such a putrid, stinking carcass. It doesn't take a whole lot to notice it and see it. But there, it'd just be a shame to reach for the violent option when there are so many nonviolent options still available to us. But we need to remember we've got a backbone, and stop being worried somebody's going to call you a name or say that you're weird. Just learn the truth and live by it and be a good example, and people will follow you in droves.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Barbara, west of the Rockies in San Francisco, how are you? Brenda.
Good evening, John. I love the topic this evening. Thank you so much. And it's very courageous for your guest as well.
It's
very liberating, I hope, and very helpful, I'm sure, for people who are having tax issues. And my question, and I have a comment, and I'll get off the air so everyone else can get through. And this is the advice for people who may be experiencing an audit issue. And also, if your guest has read the book called Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and would you please explain, if you can, why Willie Nelson had the tax problems that he did, as well as the woman in New York, the hotel queen?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very
much. Okay, quite a few little points there, but as far as audits, they can be a real nightmare. Best to get professional help if you can. I know that that's a burden to have to pay someone to represent you, but these IRS agents are really expert at making you feel intimidated and getting a lot more information out of you than you need to give them. So if at all possible, try to get professional help. She talked about a book, Jekyll and Hyde. I've heard of The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by G. Edward Griffin.
I think that's the one.
And then as far as the Willie Nelson and Leona Helmsley, basically the IRS loves to go after people who they can get a lot of publicity for. And Willie Nelson, I don't believe it was a criminal matter with him. I think it was a civil deal. But they audited him and probably disallowed almost all his deductions, found a bunch of so-called income or revenue that he did not report. And so they probably just hammered him with interest and penalties and back taxes. And then I believe they worked out a deal with him whereby he would actually cut an album whose proceeds went 100% to the IRS.
Yeah, some concerts too.
Right. And then Helmsley, again, Pete Rose, Wesley Snipes, if they can get a lot of publicity when going after someone, those are the people that they choose to. So, of course, if you are famous, you're the least likely candidate to take on the IRS one-on-one, because the IRS just loves to eat up that publicity. The guy that won the Survivor contest, remember how he won $1 million? And the IRS just hammered him. And from what I could see, the IRS was totally in the wrong there. And that gentleman, Richard, was actually in the right. But, you know, like I say, when the 800-pound gorilla is going to sit on you, it's a little hard to breathe.
Yeah. Yes, it certainly is. Well, it's a governmental agency. They have all kinds of powers that we don't. So that's what you have to do. And if you're in the right, and if your representation says you're in the right, then you just push back and you just do what you have to do. John in Maine, he's so far east of the Rockies, it's ridiculous. John, how are you?
I'm great. It's nice to join you. I'll be as quick as possible because I'd like to hit on both subjects, first with a statement, then with a question. With this NSA thing, I think the real way to fight back is the same way that Martin Luther King did in 1955 when they started boycotting the buses. If you believe in the Fourth Amendment, call your phone companies and tell them, make sure they know that you believe in the Fourth Amendment. Even if you got to call them 33 times a day, or you got to threaten to cancel your phone or cancel your phone. My question is about the IRS. We all know that if you do not pay your taxes, you are under threat of either going to jail or anything like that. But my question is, does that not fit Black Law's definition of coercion, and can we utilize that to our benefit?
Well, I don't have Black's Law in front of me, but I would say it's a pretty good fit for the definition of coercion. As far as it being giving you any protection, I would say no. I mean, I've seen, well, all kinds of arguments and attempts, and I'm not saying that nothing works, but, you know, if they can muscle you in, they can intimidate you, if they can pull a bunch of dirty tricks on you to get you convicted, they'll stop at nothing. And again, but despite that bag of dirty tricks, there have been a lot of people, including myself, who have been acquitted. Tom Cryer, that deceased attorney that I told you about, he's got a fascinating story, that truth-attack.com. You can read about it. He stopped filing and paying, and he was real open about it, and the IRS prosecuted him, and he was acquitted. There's quite a few people in that America Freedom to Fascism movie that are profiled who were victorious against the IRS. So you can do it, even despite all their dirty tricks. But, you know, telling them it's textbook coercion is not going to provide you any cover, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jake. Jake in Kansas City on Wild 5. Are you there, Jake? Jake. Oh, Jake's gone. All right, how about Chuck in Monterey? First-time caller.
John and Joe.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm 28 years old. I was an IRS agent. Started in 64. I went for 30 years. And I was indicted, and they accused me of underreporting my income over a five-year period for $32,000. And I was turned in by an informant. In fact, the informant was the father of Jody Arias. You're familiar with that trial, aren't you?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. And but anyway, in the long run, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I had too much talent, too much skill, and I was raised by immigrant parents from Switzerland who always raised me to be scared of the government, scared of depression and all this. So I never really gained my full potential, but after I left the IRS, it was the best thing ever happened to me. I learned to take control of my physical, my mental, my emotional, and my spiritual life. And the best thing that I ever got out of the Bible was the saying that says, you are in the world, but not of the world. And when I learned that I was not part of this world, everything is beautiful. So I'm not scared of anything. There are no problems. There's nothing to be fearful of out there. I developed the circle economics, and that's what I apply to my life. I draw a circle around myself, and I figure out who is in that circle. And that is my only responsibility for the people to take care of. And I don't worry about anybody else. That's not to say I won't help anybody. If they come to me and they want my help, I'm more than happy to help them. I disagree with Joe about going into gold and silver, because the average man cannot afford gold. And the government will just pass rules and regulations and take it away from you, just like they're trying to take away our guns. They took away gold before many, many years ago. And I think if you hoard gold, I think the government will come in and take care of you. And it's not a liquid asset. You can't go into safely. You can't go in a store with your gold bar and buy anything with it. You have to go to a middleman to sell it. So I don't like gold and silver.
Gotcha.
I do agree to stay out of debt. Debt is the enemy of the working man.
Thanks a lot for the call. That was a good one.
What's your question?
Okay.
Got anything you want to ask me?
What's that?
Well, I was just going to comment that Chuck had a very inspiring call.
Yes.
He's been through a lot, and he's come out better, and just very inspiring. And as far as gold and silver, I'm not saying to hoard it, but you know, probably silver more than gold is better to keep on hand. Yeah, you got to watch out for the government seizing all kinds of things. But I think diversification is a good thing also. So I guess each person's going to have to kind of decide what fits best in their own lives.
Well, what are you doing for Father's Day, Joe?
Well, I've got my two boys, 25 and 21, or 25 and almost 22. And they're great, great sons, and so I'm going to try to be with family and enjoy it and, you know, be thankful.
It's been a real pleasure to have you on the program tonight, and let's plan to stay in touch with each other, and as things develop, maybe you could come on as special counsel and give us a heads up if anything is rearing its head we need to know about in a hurry.
I'd be happy to, John. You're a great guy, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Goes both ways, Joe. Thank you. Joseph R. Bannister, agentfortruth.com, truth-attack.com. Well, happy Father's Day. A day set aside primarily and originally for single fathers, but for all fathers. Fathers are people. The title does not preclude being a human being subject to the same potential for success and a mistake here and there. But those you raised know who you are. They know who is there for them. And they know who is not. And if you believe in the Great Father, then you know he doesn't expect perfection, because that's impossible. I believe intent is what he's looking for. And for those of you who have lost your father, I feel certain he'll be there to greet you when you cross over. It's been good to be with you tonight. Until next Saturday night and beyond, good night and be well.